Welcome to the NHL Draft Class. Adam Kimmelman here, Mike Morial there. How are things on your end of the world, Mike?
Doing pretty well, Adam. Real excited, right? We have a ton of stuff coming up in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. Expansion, amateur draft, free agency. It's a free-for-all, Adam. NHL.com is going to be loaded. Here at Draft Class, NHL Draft Class, we're keeping it going with all the great scouts and getting the opinions. And we have a great one today. David Gregory, Senior Manager of NHL Central Scouting. Looking forward to chatting with him in a little bit to get updated on all the top guys that could go in this draft.
Yeah, David's going to give us great information. And if you want more great information as we get closer to the draft, which is July 23rd and 24th, so it's coming up here, you can listen to previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. We've had all the great minds from Central Scouting on, from Greg Rajanin talking about the NCAA and the USHL, you know, Goran Stube on the top players in Europe, Joey Tenute on the top players from the Ontario League. You know, the list goes on and on. So if you want to get into any of your information, any of your knowledge base for the 21 NHL draft, go back, listen to the previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. And as Mike said, today, David Gregory from Central Scouting is going to join us. So let's bring him on. David Gregory, welcome to NHL Draft Class. Thank you for coming on. How are things?
Things are good. It looks like we're going to have a regular season coming up here. So that's nice. And thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Dave, what was the most challenging part of scouting over the past year and a half? And how were you able to achieve what you needed to do for Central?
Well, I think everybody understands the challenges of games being delayed or not played, and some players getting into very limited ice time experience. So the real challenge was just trying to find a way to understand the players. You realize what we go through every year, we have a pretty nice process for how we learn about players. There's early camps in the summers, and then you start to see them in their regular season, and you already have an understanding of the players. But this year it was very difficult because of lack of games and players in Europe that would normally be playing in Canada or United States. And it was hard to track them down. And we used a lot of video to help us, but it's just not the same.
Yeah. I don't know how you guys do it. It was pretty a remarkable process that you're able to get a final rankings. And speaking of, Dan Marr told us that there was some serious debate after Owen Power during Central Scouting's final Zoom meeting to determine the North American skaters. Can you give us maybe an inside glimpse of what it was like to rank the top 10 skaters this year and maybe the interesting debates that took place?
Well, I think it was unique because of how much live viewing we got was limited to the whole staff. Some guys did not see certain players live and others did. So it was, you know, a lot of, hey, I saw this with my own eyes type of discussion, like everybody's sort of pressuring each other. Well, what about the guys that really were at the games? How much weight should we put on that? But then you got to rely on experience as well. We have some guys that have been doing this a long time and really bring a lot to the table. And a guy like Peter Sullivan, who can really relate to what it's like to be an NHL player and what he saw in just a short period of time in a small glimpse of what was going on in the Western Hockey League in the bubble they had. So it was really an interesting dynamic to bring it all together. And I think we did a good job. I think we debated more and a little bit longer just because of that circumstance. And, you know, we relied on each other's experience to make sure we did it as best we could.
Yeah, I can't even conceive of how you guys were able to function and put out the quality list that you did. But, you know, you look at it and you can see all these top defensemen, and Owen Power is number one at that list. But then who the next best defenseman is? And it seems like there's three guys, Luke Hughes from the U.S. national team, Simon Edvinson from Sweden, and Brant Clark from Barrie in the Ontario League. Three guys, fairly different styles, fairly different approaches to the game, but they all have the makeup to be very effective NHL players. What are some of the strengths of each guy and what facets of their game do you think each still needs to develop?
Well, that's a good question. Let's start with Edvinson, which was nice to get to the World Championships this year, the U18, and get to see some of these players that normally we don't see. And he is a really special player. There's no question about it. I think if, you know, you sort of went into a machine and said, let build me a, the perfect defenseman. He just might pop out. He's big, he's mobile, he's got all kinds of skill, and he can play with an edge. And I think that's something that teams are going to be really attracted to. If there's something that, you know, obviously they're young players, everybody has to improve on something. I think sometimes you try to do too much. You think you can do anything, and maybe he'll get better at deciding, okay, when do I move the puck here? Or when do I try to carry it end to end? And those decisions, you don't want to limit him right now because he's learning about what his skill set is and how he can dominate. But those decisions will get better as he becomes a more seasoned pro. Brent Clark is really super, super skilled and talented and can slow the game down to the pace that he wants it to be. And then he can snap a pass and beat you for, like, if he gets a little sleepy on him, he's gone by you with his skating or he's gone by you with a great pass. And he just has that real excellent vision that, you know, dictates how a game gets played. So he was able to do that at the U18 level and control pace of games, which was really great to see. And again, it was unfortunate for Luke, the injury he sustained at the time he did, because he missed what I think would have continued to be a great development curve or path. He has grown so much from the beginning of this season to when he finally had to shut it down that who knows where he would have ended up. It was just on a trajectory that I think could have put him in the discussion for even number one overall. That's how talented I think this player is. And he's someone that's grown into the skill set, and you started to see better offensive production out of him as the season went on. And then his defending got better as well, where he could use his great feet and his mobility and his size and strength to hold defenders off and then exchange, turn around, get the puck and go the other way and be an offensive threat. So he's a complete player that won't be long before he's playing in the NHL.
Yeah, it's kind of remarkable. Not only do we have players, you know, mentioned three of them there, Dave, that it would appear to be exceptionally talented, but they each have a unique skill about them that makes them unique in their own way, which is kind of special. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go. I'm curious, though. Adam and I are both curious. You know, this University of Michigan contingent you have going on here, how significant is the fact three players from the University of Michigan are projected to be selected in the first round? Can you give us an idea what each of those players will bring, you know, to an NHL team?
Well, it's a really unique situation, and it was never happened since I've been doing this over the years, just because of draft eligible players taking their time to get to school. They're usually playing junior hockey in their first year of eligibility, where these three players made the jump right away. And I think it's significant that they became an impact group of players for the team as freshmen and as first year in playing at that level with players that are much older and much more seasoned. You know, and if you look at Owen Power, who we did rank number one, as you said earlier, for him to step up and play the minutes that he did and to dictate the game as he did as a freshman was really incredible. It just refers to the kind of hockey sense he has and also the skill and skating ability that he has. He's a big guy, as you know, but his feet are as if he was a little guy. He can move so easily around the ice, use that long reach, transition to offense very quickly, and picks his spots very, very, very well. So he's unique in the sense that he's got, can have that kind of impact immediately just with the skill set that he brings. Kent Johnson to step in and produce as an offensive player at the NCAA level right away. Again, another special skill. He's just one of those guys that has that offensive instinct as a sniper that figures out how to score or create a scoring chance almost every time he's out there. And again, as confidence grew with him as a player down the line into the season, he was just so dominant. You saw him in the Big Ten championship really dictate the pace of play and can take Michigan deep into that tournament just because, you know, they had to game plan for him or there was going to be, you know, a scoring chance almost every time the puck was on a stick. And then Matt Beniers, you know, he has been doing it all season long at every level, world junior, whatever it was. He's an impact player that plays a complete game with a compete level that won't be denied. and then he'll dazzle you with unreal skill. And he's a player that I think is going to get discussed a lot at draft tables because, you know, he can play in any situation. And if you're a loaded offensive team, you could have him deep in your lineup and he could shut down another defender and then still score while he's doing that, or he can play in your top six. So he's going to have a lot of teams thinking this is a complete player that will, you know, step into our lineup fairly quickly.
Yeah, David, I'm with you on Beniers. I think to me, he can center your fourth line and play as soon as next season just because he's so smart with the puck. But there's we talked about Brand Clark before. I want to kind of bring it back to him because he had to go over to Slovakia to play this season because there was no Ontario Hockey League this season. He was one of three guys in your – I'm sorry, one of four guys in your top 15 that had to go over to Europe. Mason McTavish, Brendan Othman, and Francesco Pennelli are the others. You know, they were all pretty successful in pro leagues as 17 and 18-year-olds. You know, you had the chance to see them as underage players when they had a real OHL season. Were you surprised that they were able to step into pro hockey, you know, maybe not, you know, obviously not the NHL level, but it's still pro hockey, and have the success that they had? And how much of that success do you think is going to help them, you know, either at the draft table when teams are considering who to take, and then moving forward as they go into NHL training camps?
It's a great question. I think it will help them significantly. You saw with each of those players that the early games, again, that they had to earn ice time, et cetera, and establish themselves with their new teams at the pro level. Once they did that, it just tells you how good a league the OHL is, or in the Canadian Hockey League is, that they played at a level as underage players and had to compete against older players then to get ice time. They go over and play pro hockey and earn ice time and become impact players on the team. Just about every one of them did. So what it just shows to you is that these guys have the pedigree to advance to the next level. That's going to give teams a lot of confidence around the draft table to say, hey, look what this guy did against quote unquote men when before they were playing against their peers that are, you know, under 20 years old. So a guy like Mason McTavish, who we knew was going to be a good player, made tremendous strides, and his game just stepped up huge. He went over to Europe and was probably one of the best players on the team he was playing on, again, just seeing it on video, but then translate that to the World Junior U18s, where he was clearly one of the best players in the tournament. When Shane Wright was down with an injury or a cautionary, stayed out of the lineup on a precautionary situation, he stepped right up and was the leader of that team and was probably the best player on Team Canada. His feet have gotten better. He's strong. He's ready to step into play pro hockey almost immediately. So those players having the opportunity to do that with the men's team is going to create a scenario where team's going to say, I like this better than this player just because of that little edge that they have. It's certainly going to help.
So Dave, you know, Adam has asked two questions here, and after both questions, you say, wow, great question. I've asked three and I've got none of that.
Well, step up then, Mike. Let's have a good one right now.
I like that. All right. You want to play rough? Hey, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly, right? That's what you want. Yeah. So how does the NTTP, Dave, you know, it seems to me that it's a pretty stacked draft class. Good class to work with. We know so much about defenseman Luke Hughes, Chaz Lucius, right wing Sasha Pastrasov, but what other players do you feel maybe are legitimate early round candidates?
Great question, Mike. You know, the unique thing about the team this year was, I don't know if unique's the right word, but they were hit with injuries and had some of their quote unquote top players out of the lineup at significant lengths of time. So it allowed some of these other players to take on a bigger role. And you really saw the depth of the lineup. Guys like Dylan Duke, and even though Tyler Boucher was hurt for a lot of the year, stepped up and was able to take on a bigger role and show, you know, the kind of player that he could be. He's going to be really intriguing to see where someone like that goes. But the depth of the team, with Luke Hughes going down, you know, Sean Behrens had to step up and have a bigger role and play an important part on that team. And you also know that their compete level is off the charts. They were really up against the eight ball in the World 18s, but they never gave up. They were never out of almost every game. They may have been one game that was lopsided, but It just showed that there's depth and compete and a lot of talent on that team for sure.
So, David, I know goalies necessarily aren't your area of expertise. We had Al Jensen, your colleague, on the show recently, and he looked at Jesper Wallstat and Sebastian Kosa and said those two guys are head and shoulders ahead of anybody else in this year's draft class. We haven't had two goalies go in the first round since 2012. With what you've seen, at least, of Wallstat and Kosa, is this the year that changes?
I think so. And it's kind of funny. Every year when their first goalie goes, it's kind of like then the goalies start going for a little bit. The teams get worried they're not going to get someone they may want or the goalie they do want. But these two players have that significant talent that they're franchise type goaltenders that, you know, you get a goalie like that and you're seeing more and more that they can step up earlier than people predict. Like goalies sort of been on a longer development path in previous years, but you see that start to change. And these two players are right there. There's no question that they're the one and two or two and one, whatever order you want to put them in. But I think once the first one goes, the other one will go pretty quick. And, you know, we as a group, we do a little mock draft ourselves just to test our list. And it's something we've done for the last few years. And we literally draft the whole draft amongst our staff to see where players will go. And if a certain player doesn't go for a reason or gets passed over a bunch of times, it makes us question, well, why do we have them so high on our list? But in our mock draft, just so you guys know, the two goalies went in the top 20.
Well, that's good to know. We got to get that list made public. That would be fun to see.
Yeah, well, that I might get myself in trouble. So you got to forget that I told you we do that.
That's awesome stuff. Dave, Adam and I, you know, always appreciate your patience throughout the season when we're texting and emailing you for your opinions. So thanks. Thanks for that. And thanks so much for joining us today to provide some analysis and insight into top players eligible for the 21 draft. Enjoy the draft and some quality time with the family with what's left of the offseason, buddy.
Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate being on with you guys anytime. It's always fun and love catching up with whatever you guys put out there and what you write. It's great to read. Thanks very much for looking after Central as well.
David Gregory joining us again on NHL Draft Class. All good stuff there, Mike. There is a lot of good information coming out of there. What jumped off the page to you?
Well, for me, you know, I just like the idea of, you know, we could see as many as three college players taken in the first round, first time ever. And we could also see the first ever University of Michigan player taken number one overall. The funny thing is, Adam, is that the University of Michigan, powerful program they've developed, you know, they've pushed along NHL players. We know that 25 players from the University of Michigan have gone in the first rounds in past drafts, but never a number one. And Owen Power could be that player. Matty Beniers could be that player. I know there are some Buffalo Sabres fans clamoring that we don't need a defenseman. We don't need a defenseman. We need a forward. So I just like the fact that we have, you know, a powerful, big defenseman like Owen Power, shifty. You know, we've heard the comparisons of Matty Beniers to a Jonathan Toews and what he brings to the table, to probably the best two-way center of this draft, one of the best at least. Maybe Ron Francis and the Seattle Kraken get a shot, you know, at Matty Beniers. And then Kent Johnson, a player who we've read and we've heard all about. We've watched him on video. He played wing on Matty Beniers' line. He's a natural center. That will be his position in the NHL one day, but he could start out on wing. And for a kid that's 6'2 and has Patrick Kane-like ability, skating all over the ice, able to distribute the puck the way he does, I think it's something special. And then you got Luke Hughes, right? Luke Hughes is coming in to the University of Michigan. So if Owen Power does return to the Wolverines next year for a second season, it'll be nice to see an Owen Power, Luke Hughes combination on the blue line. But I know you kind of enjoyed David's analysis of one other defenseman, huh, Adam?
I did, but I want to go back to something you said for a second there. You have a 6'6" left shot defenseman. I don't care what team you're a fan of. You do not pass that guy up. Listen, the Sabres.
Totally agree.
I don't care how many defensemen they have. You need Owen Power. He is the best player. You know, we've watched these guys, and look, we're not experts. We're not NHL scouts, but we know enough. We've covered this long enough to know that Owen Power is the best player available in this year's draft. You have that number one pick. You do not overthink it. If I'm the Buffalo Sabres, if I'm Kevin Adams, the general manager, it is taking me all of 0.001 seconds to say, Owen Power, that's our guy. And I don't care who else I have on my blue line. I'll find a spot for him. I'll make the fit work. And I don't understand any fan of the Buffalo Sabres who says, no, we don't want him. Yeah. He's 6'6" and he skates like the wind with offensive skills, defensive skills. Yeah, it's just baffling that any Sabres fan would say, no, we're good.
One other point on that, Adam, and that's a great point, is the fact that no matter who you take in this draft, and I'm including number one overall, there's a very good chance they might not be in the NHL next year. So if you're looking at players that will benefit your organization in 1, 2, 3 years down the road, you do want the best available player in the draft. You don't want to fill, you don't want to look at the draft as an event to fill a need at the number one pick in the draft. You need to pinpoint the best available player. And in my eyes, in your eyes, and in the eyes of many, it's Owen Power.
He's not the only defenseman available. And there was something that David said that kind of perked my ears up about Simon Edvinson. Basically said, if you had a Build-A-Bear machine for defensemen, you would have Simon Edvinson. You know, long, strong, skates, the size, the head. You know, maybe he's not a 20-goal scorer like some other defensemen, like a Brant Clark or a Luke Hughes could be. But he's just so smart, so steady. We've seen it this year, you know, on video, watching him in the junior league in Sweden, at the World Under-18s. He's an elite-level defenseman. I've seen scouts compare him to Seth Jones. You know, that's a pretty good standard if you're looking for a guy to add. So, you know, Simon, there's a lot of defensemen in this draft. The fact that David would say, you know, he's the model, sort of, you know, not to put words in David's mouth, but he's the model of what an NHL team should want. So that to me may, you know, perk my ears up. And because you've got, you know, after Power, the next best defenseman is either going to be Edvinson, Clark, or Hughes. And they all play very different styles. Brant Clark is all offense all the time. You know, Luke Hughes is a very offensively gifted player, but with you know, a developing defensive game. Edvinson has that, you know, he's already made a defensive player with a developing offensive game. So, you know, it kind of depends what flavor you're looking for. But, you know, to me, the Edvinson thing was very interesting for Dave, the way David phrased that.
Yeah, David has a way with words, just like E.J. McGuire used to have that way with words, right? Right, Adam? But yeah. Back to Edvinson, an interesting point is, you know, Edvinson's going to be participating in the World Junior Summer Showcase, which is upcoming here in Ann Arbor, I should say Plymouth, Michigan, at the USA Hockey Arena, beginning July 24th and running through the 31st. It's an interesting scenario with the Junior Summer Showcase this year. The second day of the NHL draft is July 24th, and Sweden, Finland, and the U.S. all have scheduled practice days on the 24th. So really, we could conceivably see a player from one of these teams be taken on the second day of the draft while they're on the ice. And in fact, Sweden and Finland, Adam, have an exhibition game at 4:00 that day. So that would be an interesting scenario, right? They go back to the bench and their coach tells them, hey, you were just selected by so-and-so, and, you know, gets back on the ice and is playing in an exhibition game. But I'm looking forward to seeing what these players have to offer here. Sweden, Finland, the United States in the World Junior Summer Showcase this year. Sweden, Jesper Wallstat is participating. He might be, from what we've seen this year and in the past, might be the best goalie at this 10-team tournament that is going to take place in January. So Sweden has it there going there. For Finland, Atu Ratti, number 3 on the international list of central scouting, will get another crack. So curious to see how he does. And also, Adam, Brad Lambert, who many project to be a top 3 pick in the 2022 draft, will be in the mix for the Finns. He played in the U-20s last year, so it'll be interesting to see how Brad Lambert does. The U.S. has plenty of 21 draft eligible players on its roster. You know, defenseman Sean Behrens, Shai Buyam, Luke Hughes is in the mix. Ryan Ufko from Clark Cup champion Chicago in the United States Hockey League will have an opportunity. And then offensively, you've got some big players, big names here. Matty Coronado, Josh Doan, Chaz Lucius, Tyler Boucher, Tristan Bros from Fargo, Mackie Samuskevich, Dylan Duke, Sasha Pastrostoff, and then, of course, Matty Beniers, right, Adam? So the U.S. is pretty loaded as well. So it's going to be an interesting summer showcase. A lot of interesting decisions to be made by the GMs of these clubs.
Yeah, you know, and I love those traditional Finnish names like Brad Lambert. That'll be fun, you know.
Yeah,
we're just going to throw an extra A in there just to make him fit in. But yeah, as you said, there's 11 players from Central Scouting's top 30 that are going to be there with the U.S. Mike ran down the names, you know, Finland, Sweden. It's always a great time. It's a great opportunity for those guys to get back on the ice, start building towards, you know, what they're going to do for the World Junior Championship, which starts in December, which we're all going to have to start talking about soon enough. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. And I remember last year as we got ready for the 2020 draft, there were teams that were practicing when, you know, the coach would blow practice dead and say, hey, you just got drafted by an NHL team. So maybe we'll get a little bit of that when we're, when you're out in Plymouth. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun to see.
Thomas Monten, the Sweden coach, told me no cuts will be made, you know, during the summer showcase. And Nate Lehman also told me no cuts to be made during the showcase. As you mentioned, it'll feature for the U.S. four goalies, 16 defensemen, 24 forwards. The U.S. is going to field two teams, which makes sense. Obviously, Canada is participating in their own showcase, per se, on the Western Canada. So it's going to be interesting. It's always a fun event, and I'm looking forward to seeing what these players have to offer for sure.
Absolutely. And you can continue following NHL Draft Class for all of your 2021 NHL draft needs, as well as following what Mike and I have been doing on NHL.com as far as division by division draft needs. Those stories are coming up. We've pumped out a lot of nice features on to get you in the know on what your team could pick and what players you should keep an eye out for. Mike's got a great look position by position of what teams could be looking at, some of the top players at each position. Mike, am I leaving out any of the great stories we've been doing?
Yeah, there is. Well, I mean, obviously by position, you're doing redraft stories, Adam, which are great, outstanding. So check that out as well. Coming up is the always fan favorite mock draft. So Adam and I will give it a whirl and pick our top 31. Obviously, you know, the Coyotes have to forfeit their first round pick this year, so they don't have a first round pick. So we have 31 selections in the first round, and Adam and I will give it a shot. We'll try to determine in one of the most unpredictable drafts in history. We'll try to project the top 31. Not going to be easy, Adam, but I'm sure I'll do better than you.
As I always say, it's more mock than draft. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Remind me who got more first round picks right last season. I think we have the tape on that. You can go
I threw
back
that tape away. That tape's in the garbage. Yeah.
Right.
New season.
Right.
New season, buddy.
Right next to 19 coffee cups that are, I'm sure, littering the floor next to you. But mock drafts, well, that's next episode. But as of right now, NHL draft class is dismissed.